for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, July the 5th, 2002. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is the minister of the morning.
By the grace of God, we are what we are. We stand in your midst, Lord God, in the awesome presence of our Lord. And we give thanks, for you have discharged us all to the battle. And Lord, we thank you that one of your attributes is war. We know that you are a God of peace, love, kindness, long-suffering, but also one of your attributes is war. And God says he likes to make war, and he laughs at his enemies. So today, Lord, as we gather before you, grant us wisdom and revelation. Grant us increase, God, that we might faithfully discharge the commission you have given to each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You've already been seated. I can say you can be seated if you like. In the book of Exodus, the 15th chapter, I'm minded to the children of Israel as they were celebrating the victory of God delivering them from bondage. However, as God delivered Israel from captivity, Israel came out, but they still had a lot of Egypt in them. And there was a promise God made to Israel of the promised lands. And the lands were full of oppressors, squatters, sitting in the lands, no differently than there are squatters in our land sitting, oppressing the church. God threw a spirit of panic in the ranks of Pharaoh and his troops, removed the wheels off the carriages or chariots, and swallowed them up in the ocean. Israel became excited. Moses became excited. And in the 15th chapter, Moses and the children of Israel began to sing a song. And in this song, I can see a description on how the victory and how the children of Israel envisioned the Lord. In verse 3, it is so very clear. They said, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." They saw through that battle that God was a God of battles. Do we see God as a God of battles? Do we realize that God is on our side? Amen. Now, I realize that you have been sent here. God is raising you up and calling you into the battle.
That's right.
And there are different degrees of understanding and different degrees of light. Nevertheless, all are in the fold. You say, "Well, Brother Landry, I don't know that much." That's wonderful. Then you're teachable. Those that say they have it all and know it all are in error. But I know somebody that have it all and know it all. As I've said before, and it's just coming to me, like I say, I'm just going to trust the Lord for what he wants to do this morning. There are so many religions out there, so many faiths out there, and out of that, I think it's about several of them who claim to have absolute truth. So that tells me very clearly that at least six of them is lying. And so we're seeing the scriptures in Thessalonians manifested in the church today, where strong delusion is being sent in the midst. Demons are openly manifested in the congregations, particularly in the worship services. Spirits are just having liberty to do what they want to do. I'll tell you something else. God is raising up truth in these last days.
Amen.
And if you have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of God is revealing, you will be able to assist the body of Christ as we challenge down these demonic invaders and drive them out of the land.
Amen.
But it's going to take an attitude of warfare.
Right.
And so in my case, I was a little passive, an introverted personality. dysfunctional family, so there was a lot of arrested development in my life. But God is able to deliver us.
Amen.
None of you will be the same tomorrow. And I can assure you, if you'll stay faithful, you definitely won't be the same next year.
Right.
We're going from glory to glory.
Right.
But we're not supposed to be doing the driving. We can't be cafeteria with God picking and choosing what we want to get free of. Deliver me, God, so that you can be glorified through me. Some want to get delivered from cigarettes, but they want to continue with the alcohol. Now, I'm not talking about rubbing alcohol. That's okay. But we can't cafeteria with God. God is doing a deep work. In the last 2 weeks, God did such a work in me, it brought me down to my knees. Well, that's not hard to do, but I'm telling you, when Sister Mildred, she's getting some ministry today, I'm getting ministry with her. I'm happy for her. We ought to be a body ministry. We are much too divided. In the book of Luke, the 4th chapter, as the Lord was going into the temple, Luke 4:18, very familiar scripture. We're all familiar with it. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, I want you to understand, this commission is given to all of us. There is none that exempted from the fight, except for those that are getting some ministry, and after you get some deliverance, then you go back to the fight. "Because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." One thing I can tell you for sure, that this scripture here tells us that Jesus came to set the captives free. And at one time, every one of us were prisoners of Satan. We were in the enemy's camp, at peace with the enemy. I like to use the term MIA's, missing in action. And we were comfortable with it until Jesus touched our heart. Until Jesus brought us out, we were at peace with our enemy. But the enemy was never at peace with you. He just didn't have God's permission to take you out of here. It's by the grace of God, somebody prayed for you.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't take our time to pray for others. We have to move the obstacles and mountains in our brothers and sisters' paths. See, a mountain to a man in a wheelchair is a 6-inch curve he can't get over. And we won't take our time to do spiritual warfare for our fellow brothers and sisters to come into the kingdom. We are very blessed right now in our world that there is a great movement of God with spiritual mapping. Somebody's got to take care of the maps, but somebody's got to take care of the lands. Unfortunately, 90% of the people doing spiritual mapping have no idea that the demons are in the house. But you need to understand, don't spend too much time wrongly discerning and judging that. Just say, "Well, thank you, they can handle that end, and I'll take care of this end." And maybe it will reverse, and before you know it, in 5 or 10 years, God will have you leading spiritual mapping knowledge in a foreign country when you spoke against it because they don't know Christians have demons. So just thank God that he's using the mappers, because it's taking a lot of extra unnecessary warfare off of your backs, because now you can concentrate on the other simple work that has been done in the body. What I'm saying is, it's going to take love to get delivered. And if we become so pharisaical and so judgmental and so observant of what man is doing, we'll never know what God is doing. We'll never know. I can take you to a school and teach you and pump information into your minds day after day, week after week, and I will proselyte you and produce what I have given you. But that doesn't mean you're close to God. It doesn't mean you're close to God because you prophesied, because Saul prophesied. It's about surrendering to God and finding out what God's plan for your life. And I can assure you, in this morning's message, and we don't have a lot of time, and I can talk to four. And I don't mean at a restaurant. You go home now, you eat 4 hours. I don't mean that. We're going to have to allow God to show us our commissions. We must have a balance in our ministry. Now, no one is exempted from the war. Because one of the attributes of God is war. So no one is released from that commission. So we should spend some time finding out about that commission. In the book of Matthew, after Jesus had dealt with the deaf and dumb individual, Matthew 12:28. Incidentally, we had a young boy come to the ministry 2 years ago, and he had 30 seizures. And when he came to the assembly, his mother came and she talked. Her mother and brothers and sisters were already part of the work at one time, and now they aren't completely. And I'm going to Matthew 12:28. This young man had had 30 seizures, and they were at a desperate situation. And how many of you know that's how God moves? When you seize, God can move. I'm telling you, we need to hear from God. Sister Mary, we need to hear. It sounds silly. Last night, well, yesterday even God gave a word on something. To me, it was just so silly. I mean, it was just so silly, but it brought forth tremendous deliverance. And when you're ministering to people, God will give you a word of knowledge. It may sound so preposterous, but do you understand that some of the things that we're wrestling out of people today and our children will wrestle out of individuals in the future are sitcom, soap operas, cartoon characters.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I don't know about Alf. There's something called Alf, I think it was a little...
Alf.
Okay, I never watched him, but I knew about Tennessee Tuxedo and his tails. You know, I knew about Popeye. I knew about Moby Dick. I knew about Gorilla, whatever his name, King Kong. And I've actually seen in warfare these spirits manifest in individuals. So everybody here, you're going to be ministering to people, and God may give you a word of knowledge and say something like, leave it to Beaver. Person can't keep anything. I don't know, whatever the characteristics of leaving me, but I'm free. I don't remember. But anyway, it's some other ones I'm not free of yet. I'm still getting some deliverance. But that's one I don't think I have a problem with. But whatever some of the nature and characteristics of Beaver, it might be in the personality of the person that's trying to get free. So we need to listen to God. We need to listen. We need to listen. This individual came and had 30 seizures. And I sat down with the family. I said, listen. I can't work with you if you're just going to stop by on Friday night for Friday Night Live. It's going to take several months, first of all, for you to trust me and to judge the word that God gives me. You're going to have to search the scriptures with us, hear the message, and then you're going to have to determine whether or not the things we teach you be true. And then you're going to have to understand that my love will cause me to discipline and to share some things with you that you may not feel comfortable with. And then you've got to understand who I am as a servant of God, so you understand I'm not operating out of my own personal belief, but out of what the Word says. I say, so it's not going to help if you just want a session. We need to have a commitment.
Amen.
And so many people, I was at a meeting here a few weeks ago with my wife, and a young lady came up, well, I'm so-and-so, I called your wife, and I want to come over, but I don't want to go to the church. And I looked at her, I said, well, I don't do private sessions anymore. You can come to a service Wednesday or Friday or Sunday and just sit out there. And then call me back a week later and say, I was at a service and I would like to have some follow-up counseling and I will counsel with you. Well, this person was, and I don't mean to be stepping on any toes or anything like that, okay? Because I'm not going to cover any names or anything like that. But they were in a following a certain particular religious group that believed that God doesn't need churches. But God established the church. He established the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers. And as a movement, I did say, we just go from house to house and we'll just eat and sing a few songs. I know about this because we have a very large group in our city. And one of the men came and grabbed one of our girls and married her. But she come back later and said, I was wrong. She said, but I got to live through it. I said, well, God will deliver him now. But anyway, so we're working on that end. And so I know what I'm talking about. So God has places where we can go, and you're not going to get in the commission until you learn how to submit. Submission before commission. Repentance before deliverance. A changed heart before freedom. God's got a plan. We got to get on His plan instead of our plan. Most of our plan is so acclimated to our military experience, to our job history, to the way we were brought up, the influence we have from our coaches, influence from our teachers. And God says, throw all it out and start anew with me. I want to do a new thing. I got hidden manna that you don't even know about. And we're out here looking for new wine and new this and new that. And God said, I got some stuff in here you're not even interested in. I got some old manna that you don't even know about. We got to go back to the first works. God, this is a very serious time in our life because God is raising up many of you. Many of you already have been given your papers to do the work of commission of ministry and deliverance and restoration. Others are here, some maybe for the first time. And so I want you to know we do think it is serious. This is a very serious ministry. And God has called you to that ministry. He says in verse 28, but if I cast out devils, and translation, I think a better translation would be demons, by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. And so we need to understand that the casting out of evil spirits is a clear indication and a demonstration of the power and authority of God.
Amen.
You say, well, I have a better way. Well, I've had a lot of people tell me they have better ways. That's in John, the 14th chapter, verse 12, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Sometimes we leave out the also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, I believe it is clear in Scripture that deliverance is a greater work. In fact, I would assume that the majority of you are here today because you were delivered enough to be able to come somewhere where iron can sharpen iron, so that we can be increased by the power of Almighty God. So you've been commissioned to the mission. Now, so I believe deliverance is a greater work. Now, I know that there are some good works out there and some great works out there. But if you don't do the very same works, if you don't have a fundamental foundation established in the very same works that Jesus did, then how can you establish your righteousness better than God's righteousness? How can you establish your works greater than the works that Jesus has given us? You ought to be able to at least know the principles of, and everybody should be doing this, preaching the gospel, ministering healing to the sick, and casting out devils.
Amen.
That's simple.
That's right.
Now, it doesn't take a PhD to figure that one out. God gave it simple. It is a believer's ministry. Believers ought to get excited.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm a little timid about it. I thought God would deliver you from your timidity. But it is normal to feel a little uncomfortable until you get established with fellow brothers and sisters who are in agreement with you, and you all begin to work out the salvation, begin to walk out the experiences, and begin to accumulate some experiences from working in the ministry. It takes time. You don't just get thrown in the midst of the battle and know everything. It's going to take time. Some people say, well, I've read the book. I've been in deliverance about a year. I've read the book. Well, just because you read the book doesn't mean that you know a lot about deliverance. I mean, you can read a book about flying a plane. That don't mean you can get up there and take controls and fly it.
Amen.
And so I'm at awe at some of the people that just want to let you know I'm part of you. I mean, I'll let you know I don't know it all. I thank God for all of you. It's many of you, I thank God for your courage, because you'll come to me and you'll tell me what God say, or you'll share with me. It's because I'm teachable. And if I didn't have that attitude of teachability, you couldn't come to me. And some of you need to recipiate the same thing. We need to be open to each other in fellowship and not walk around like, we need what, amen, sister, we need what each other have. I definitely need it.
That's right.
You know, God gave us a commission in Mark, the 16th chapter. And one of the commissions here, Mark 16, chapter verse 17, he says that, and these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
So aren't we believers? The Bible says, in my name, first sign, you shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. This is an attitude of snatching, grabbing, throwing out violently. It's an attitude. Now, when you minister to people, you have to let them know, now I'm going to get real, real into what we're going to do here in this session. So you may see me change a little bit. My voice may come up just a little bit. But it's because I'm going at those demons that are attacking your life. It's a change of mode. It's not like we're just sitting around talking about having lunch and things like that. And some of us are just too nonchalant. We feel like we can move in the same room at all times. You know, no, there's an anointing that God will give us. We're trusting Him. He is the one that's delivering the folk. We are supposed to be speaking the Word. But we can't speak the Word if there's a whole bunch of foolishness in our minds. One minute we talk about delivery, the next minute we talk about we draw pictures for God. Well, it's not in here. Got all kind of people come to me for all kind of help. You know, I mean, I've heard teachers, one man said that somebody came in and said, I got a bicycle ministry. It ain't in here. We shouldn't call things God that is not God. We just want to come up with a ministry. You know what it is? I used to be one. I come from a broken family. We wounded and rejected. And so we got to find something we can hold on to. So now we're doing Charlie Pride, Mimi from Christ. Then we break an ice from Christ. Karate for Jesus. There ain't none of that in here. It's not in here. So why do we do this? So I'm going over there. They're going to bust a bunch of ice this week. Forgive me, I'm just dealing with the manifestations of what I see to be things that people are doing. I'm not talking about the people. Them people speaking in tongues, love God, they'd probably be to heaven with us, okay? God's going to work them through this situation. But I'm talking about what's being manifested. Okay, so you're not going to make it in this thing if you judge the person. You've got to separate them from the sin. Okay, so if you didn't know I do that, I want you to know I do. Because I really love the people. Okay, and so God says if they drank any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen.
Still, God has a plan for us. Now, if you're working with an individual and they have a problem and it's a sickness, and the doctors have told them that this is generally not found in this region or this territory, it's something you find 5 or 6 cases in the northern hemisphere, then in most cases you can just about discern it's probably a curse operating. It's a unique situation, and so God has given us the commission to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, there is some cases where the recovering it takes some time because God is doing a deeper work in our lives. So you may be one of those that God is working with right now and you're waiting on your healing, but God has delayed your healing because he's doing a deeper work. And the worst thing can happen is you'll get closer to him.
Amen. That's right.
Now, Jesus called out the spirit of infirmity in the daughter of Abraham. Now, she had been bowed over 18 years. Now, that's a long time to wait for deliverance. 18 years with spina bifida, scoliosis, hunchback of Notre Dame, any one of the, or a combination of the above. But Jesus said that Satan had bound her, and I am convinced that many of the infirmities, if not all of them, are demonically rooted. If for sure Satan is there assisting the infirmity, the sickness. And so we need to understand that when you're ministering to individuals, when you're not absolutely sure what we're dealing with, in doubt, just cast it out. My question this morning, are we truly ministering in the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of God today? One of the ways that God demonstrates his power is through the ministry of deliverance. People go to fellowship week after week, month after month. They attend church. They grow up in a fellowship. But they never really witness the power of God demonstrated in those ministries. It doesn't matter how eloquent, how educated the minister or gentle or the minister is able to deliver the message. There's absolutely very little, if none, in the area of discernment in that ministry. And it's probably because the ministries are hid behind strong strings, puppet strings of denomination. But God is raising up truth in these last days. He's separating us. He's calling out a church that will obey his voice. You know what? God is looking at the overcomers, because the overcomers are the ones that are going to inherit the promises of God.
Amen.
So are we overcomers or are we being overcame? That is the question. I believe God is raising up truth in these last days.
Yes.
In the book of Mark, the 9th chapter, we see the disciples were out on a ministry one afternoon, and they were confronted with an individual who was not part of their ministry team. And so that individual obviously inconvenienced him, so they stopped him. In Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 38, the scripture says, "And John answered Jesus, saying, Master, we saw one casting out demons in your name. And he followed not us. He wasn't over at our church. He wasn't part of our prayer group. He didn't do it like we did. He was shouting, but we were talking quiet. Come out, come out. So we stopped him because he followed not us. We ought to be following God.
Amen.
And there are different degrees of understanding in this ministry. Don't you remember where some of you started from? I know I did. 7 drops of blessed oil, shouting and screaming, falling all over the floor. And tell you what, I wouldn't want to pass none of that experience up for nothing. That was so foundational. It was so important. And I remember all of the elders coming, pushing me and saying, "Don't do that. Sit down. Stop." I was in Chicago about 10 or 12 years ago. One of the men, I think he's a pastor somewhere around the country now, came up to me And I was praying for an individual close to the front. And I think Win Worley was up there or something. But anyway, the young man, I got a videotape back in 95, in 85 when he was manifesting, falling all over the place. But the same young man came and rebuked me, said, "Don't do that. Shut that demon up." I said, "Okay." And so all of those experiences were so important. So if you can't accept rebuke or training or reproof by the elders, then, well, no submission, no commission. But Jesus said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me." He was saying specifically, do not forbid the casting out of evil spirits. Jesus taught that it was a very important part of the ministry. Ministry to others, ministry to ourselves. It is the believer's ministry. So people are going to get excited about doing stuff or doing deliverance. They're going to get excited. God says in Psalms 144, 1, that he teaches our hands to war. God wants to teach our ministries to war, people. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." God wants to teach your ministries warfare. So why are we resisting the commission? He wants to teach us to fight. We need to know who our enemies are. It's not our brothers and sisters in the natural realm. It's the demonic invasion, squatters in the spiritual realm. And we tend to feel more comfortable when we can see flesh to fight with. And so we want to fight flesh. We need to realize our weapons are not for against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The spiritual wickedness in high place. We need to understand who we and what we are fighting against. In the book of Matthew, Jesus went into the... Someone mentions on... The brother mentioned on this last night. He taught on the three cleansings in the temple. In the Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 12, in the second cleansing, it says, Jesus went into the temple of God, and he cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple. All of those that... were involved with the money changers, just mismanaging the poor people's offerings. How many know there's a lot of money mismanagement in the church today?
That's right.
It is so unfortunate. We should really be in prayer about that. Many will be called out and see the truth, thank God. Because that's the kind of God we serve. He loves us despite our problems and our errors and our sins, you know. So, but there's a little problem right now, and God's going to work it out in time. He's going to work it out. I'm trusting him to do that. And see to those that sold the doves. And one thing that the Lord showed me about 5 years ago about this is that when all of this was taking place in the assembly, and I can give you a description of many things that are taking place other than counting the people and finding out how many are going through the aisles and drafting tithes out of checking accounts without permission and a $20, $40, and $100 prayer. I mean, I can give you a scenario of a bunch of that, and some of you are familiar with some of that, and that's unfortunate. But at the root of that was the spirit of root of all evil. Because when there's a lust of money present, God says that the spirit of root of all evil is present.
Right.
And he said unto them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." When Jesus came into our house, these temples ought to be starting to become cleansed. It was until Jesus was able to cleanse the temple here of this demonic oppression, the spirit of root of all evil. It was until then before the blind and the lame could come in and be healed. And I'm convinced there's not much healing and deliverance taking place in the church because the focus is on money. I was talking to one of the pastors from Africa, and when he was, we were talking about a person that got ministered and healed on a television program, watching and hearing the word of God. And the minister said, "Call this number for prayer." And when they called the number, the person wanted to get description of their name and address and a pledge. Before I get prayed for? But the minister said to call so I can get prayer. Before I get paid for? And then the person starts sending the pledge and they ask for more later. Oh boy, I tell you. Come on now. And sometimes until we get the spirit of infirmity out, generally there's no healing. because it's in the house. And there may be some exchanger in there, something that a money changer or a bitter changer, unforgiveness changer, generational changer. There's some changer in there that's trying to exchange the cross for a work of the flesh, for the devil. And so we need to find out what's going on. We have to trust the Lord to deliver us and bring us to where we need to be. God says in Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 19, he says, "Behold, I give unto you." Now, he's talking to you and I. He's not just talking to Brother Jim. And I don't think like this. I don't look like this. I see every one of you walking in as an overcomer, full of victory. Full of victory. He said, "I've given unto you power to tread over the serpents and scorpions," was a picture of evil spirits, right? And he says, "over the power of the enemy." So Satan has some ability here. But he doesn't have God's ability. He doesn't have all power. Okay? Amen. But he has a certain amount of authority there if you allow, if release that to him.
Right.
Nothing, God says, by any means shall hurt or harm you. He also says in the ninth chapter, the Lord says in the ninth chapter, verse 1, as he commissioned the disciples, and he's commissioned, many of you are already commissioned, but many are here for the first or second time, and you are being commissioned to the battle. He says, "Then he called his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick." The believer's commission. Now here, power here means exousia, which is a delegated authority God has given to the church. In other words, the right to use his power as needed to destroy the works of darkness. And God gave us power and he gave us authority, which is the word. The second word authority here speaks of dunamis, which is a miraculous power, miracles, and a mighty great works. And this work here goes on and on and on into authority. It is a completed work of God. And you need to understand that you and I have tapped into the same authority. We know about the keys. We know the Lord had keys. He gave keys to the church. And we know that we're not going to be able to get much deliverance if people do not have the knowledge of what they're getting delivered from. And so before we just attack an individual and we just want to pray and get them delivered, we might need to take some time out. Before you go to war, seek wise counsel. I think that's Proverbs 18:20 or 20:18. I'm not so sure. But we need to be able to feel comfortable to find people that you feel comfortable to counsel with. Well, you need to also submit, because your overseers or elders may suggest that you get a particular individual to pray for you. And you say, "Well, not that one. We had it out last year." And that might be the very ticket to your deliverance. And see, some of us question the authority in the church, and they're not doing things as a spike. They're doing things to get you to a degree so that you can walk in victory.
Amen.
And so we don't understand. A long time ago, I figured out I better be broken. That's the only way I'm going to get fixed. So whatever. Brother Dean, my overseer, y'all know Brother Dean. Brother Dean, they call him Little General. Sometimes he's referred to as the warden. Because if we have a work detail, we're going to work. And I've seen men come out there and help me with hard hats and steel-toed boots. In fact, I brought steel-toed boots to work today. Not on you, I'm talking about out here. I'm going. But when we call a work group, they don't like to work for me either. Because I'm going to get out there and double work. And so I have men come out there. They got hard hats and steel toes and sun what they call those, work glasses on? Safety glasses. And so Brother Dean has told me some things sometime and just dropped me to the floor. And I said, "Thank you." Thank you. One time, I think about 12 years ago, I was dealing with some spirits. I had a whole bunch of people, and the demons were talking about, "I want to get in this one. Send me over here." And I say, "I bind you, be quiet." You know, "I like him." You know, and I was binding all the spirits up because I didn't have a lot of workers at the time. And so I was kind of out there by myself. My wife was taking care of our children when they were growing up. And so I learned a lot, and I had to learn a lot real quick because they were trying to destroy me, of course. And so I decided one day, I said, "Well," and one of my elders told me he worked at a dog pound. He was kind of more or less the guy in around the dog pound. And I said, "Okay, I'll send those demons to the dog pound." I said, "What did I do that for? Do you know he got fired? He got fired from his job?" And boy, I repented. I told Brother Dean, I said, "Brother Dean." He said, "Why did you do that? Don't you ever do that again." I said, "I won't. But some good news, because God heard our prayers, God sent the assistant manager of the company at the city of Port Arthur and restored the man and made him the supervisor before he retired. It took about 6 months. Boy, I was like this. So I learned then, because I was sending them everywhere. I put them in dogs in the park, at churches, chicken everywhere. But, hey, we had to start somewhere, okay? I didn't know. I was sitting up there on Magnolia. I had nobody want to help me. Everybody else had a better doctrine. You know, they always, you know, supernatural, you know. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to stand out here and learn what it takes in the trenches. And so I got dirty and bit up and spit on and everything else. God gave us in Luke, the 10th chapter, he said, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Once again, we see the believer's commission. Jesus gave power and authority to his disciples, to the 70, to his church people, we the believers, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel, and to heal the sick in Jesus' name. And by the way, incidentally, you don't pray a demon out. You command him out. And if it's a tug there, we just need to pray, God, what is it going to take to get this person free? And ask them to pray, Father, what is it going to take, the truth that I need to get free? And we need to do some research, and we need to sit down and talk and share. And one of the young ladies at the assembly have been really growing faith in the Lord. Her and another sister have developed me a questionnaire. And so when the people come, they fill out a questionnaire. And so one time I was sitting in the service, and questionnaires was coming all over my... I said, well, I'm not going to be able to pray for all these people tonight. And so you can do this. I'll fax you a questionnaire. And just a simple questionnaire that says, like, did you ever participate in Eastern religions, have your poems read, play with a Ouija board, etc. And so they feel, you know, comfortable filling it out, just passing it up, and it goes in my file. So each time I minister to you, I can know whatever we covered and scratch it out. Scratch it out, scratch it out, scratch it out. Okay, just some idea. Okay, so we must challenge the spirit. We must challenge the demons in the individual. There's a very popular worker in our country today, a very God-fearing man, who believes, I believe he's made a statement several times, that you have to know the name. Well, I believe sometimes we need to consider, you need to know the nature. The nature of the spirit. So you may not always have a name, but you'll know what that demon is doing. Now, then maybe a month or two later, you might have strong discernment like this minister who said this, and you'll be able to, God will give you the name later. But you knew what he was doing to that individual. You said, this demon is doing this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You come out.
Right.
And you go now in Jesus' name. And I asked God to send me angels to come and gather them up with chains and shackle them, grab them, and take them to where the Lord receives them to dispose of them.
That's right.
We're going to have to come together as the body of Christ. Far too many loners are in this ministry. Far too many independents are in the ministry of deliverance. We need each other. We must teach those that come to us how to minister deliverance to themselves through the Lord. And then we must teach them how to minister deliverance to others, because in the same ministry you give, the same ministry you receive. I've cast out many demons out of many individuals in the same area that I have come into agreement with. I'm not just looking at them and looking down. I'm looking with them, because maybe that's in my line, my family generation too. Demons are very sneaky, conniving, and they'll show up at 75 or 85 or 55, and they'll come in the names of pancreas, or they'll come in the names of prostate cancer. Your daddy had it, your granddaddy had it, so that some of them are laying dormant there like a submarine waiting to surface at menopause, waiting to surface at 65, so you can't enjoy your retirement, because you ought to be enjoying working for God. There is no retirement. I didn't say anything about vacation, okay. One time, we need to relax sometime. Our ministry, my wife and I working together, has been really unique since I started taking her on cruises. Now she looks at me, when are we going again? And it's really been delightful. It's really been delightful, really. One time there was an individual who had an angry spirit. Big old guy, 300 pounds. And he sat down in the chair, and a friend of mine, Otis, was praying for him. And she told him, nobody get close. Nobody touch the individual, don't get close. And she began challenging that spirit, put the demons around his ankles and his thighs and his hand, hold him in the seat. And, and that demon was just, you know, saying things and mad and mean. And then the deliverance was progressing, and all of a sudden people started getting closer as the war got louder and louder, and people going, yeah, yeah. You know, you just got to get glued to this thing. You get attached to this thing because Jesus is attached to you, and he has compassion for you. And so naturally you're going to have compassion for the bound. But we still need to be able to rightly discern here, know when to move, when not to move. That's a season for everything, a time for all things. And so one person then got up there until they put their foot on the side of the chair. And when they did that, guess what? He come out that chair. He went outside, jumped on top of the car, and tore the car. He was 300 pounds. Boom! Boom! He tore up a car outside. Found out that the man that put his foot next to him, being so compassionate, what does a wounded person give somebody? Wound. He had an angry spirit in him. You need to know what's inside of you. And you must trust those that work around you. If I tell my brother here, and this brother been walking together for a long time, you just sit right here, I'm going to work with this. Well, why? Don't do that. Just say, okay.
Yeah.
We got too much why. In fact, we got too much pick and choosing. We pick and choose our ministers.
Right.
We pick and choose the word. We're here in our God's spring, and all these people here to help us. And we have some mighty people have come here throughout this past year. This is, my second trip this year, maybe a third trip this year. And we'll be back in October for the deliverance meeting, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a delegation from Africa. I'm looking forward to, I know I got confirmation from the Caribbean, St. Lucia. And so I'm looking for people to come from all over the world here. I'm expecting 500 people. Well, we get 200, fine. But I'm expecting 500 or more hundred. This one, I'm hoping this will be the greatest ministry. I'm sending out letters to everybody that came in 1998. And I'm starting to go through my files. It's just been so busy trying to write letters. I wrote several personal letters. I wrote group letters to individuals saying, come back and help us.
Amen.
Come back and help us. We are taking this city. We're taking this country. We're taking this world for Jesus.
Amen.
But we can't do it. Divide it. That's what the enemy wants to do to us. He wants to divide us and scatter us. We must come together in a unity body. We must realize we need each other in order to defeat the powers of darkness.
Yeah,
there is a spirit called evil power and evil strength. Many of you are going to go back to your little homes, your little prayer meetings, and individuals are going to manifest in the chairs while you're praying for them. They're going to fall all over and hands going to fall and slap people all over and everything. Okay, all you got to do, say, I bind you, spirit of evil power and evil strength. I remind you, my weapons are not carnal. I'm not going to fight you in the flesh. And pick the people up and sit them down in the chair and continue to minister to them. We need to understand that we must fight spiritually. If you fight in the flesh, expect a fleshly battle. At this particular degree of walk, in our walks here, coming here, learning about Lake Hamilton, totally committed its work that God has given them. They have faithfully and all faithfully carrying out the commission that God has given to this ministry to make disciples. We must understand that we can't not use natural weapons. So, if you can't go to sleep and you got your 45 under your pillow, you're in trouble. You need help. You need to get up here right now. Well, not right now. Wait. Just a few minutes. I don't think God minds you boarding up your house because you must secure your home. Okay, and you need to have security and things like that. But a 45 under your pillow, two loaded shotguns in the closet. I threw out the temptation. I stopped hunting. I sold my boat. Stopped fishing. Of course, I wish I could go back fishing now. And so God's gonna give me more time to do that. But I took my guns, got rid of all that stuff, because I didn't want any temptation to make me run to that closet because I heard a little squeak in the door. Because I know if I pick it up, I'm good as dead, technically, because I've given a legal right to the demons to say he is fighting in the flesh. We can take him out in the natural.
Amen.
That doesn't mean I won't go be with the Lord. I'll just go a little early. There are many things that will help us in our ministry of deliverance. And I would strongly suggest that we don't work in the enemy's camp if possible. You know how difficult it is to go to someone's house and you're in there, they got all kind of stuff on the walls, and they go to the Buddhas and the statues and all kind of things. And you know this, and you should have known this before you got this. So why didn't you invite them to your home or to the assembly or to some neutral site? Never minister alone if possible. I realize some of you, because you are the ones that God has raised up, and he couldn't find another man or woman that will help you at this time. And so this is not a rebuke. I'm saying as your ministry begins to develop, trust those who are around you. You don't really have to yell, but we tend to get a little excited, right? And I generally lay my hands gently on the male's stomach, because out of the belly should be rivers of living water and bowels of compassion, and this seems to be the headquarters of the enemy. You know, if you can control a man's appetite, you can control his walk. You see how far he gets when he's starving. And, you know, I know sometimes on the females, I would touch her sometime on the forehead, and I know this is the place of authority. If you destroy the head, you destroy the body. And so, you know, we don't need to really be shoving them down and stuff, but sometimes people, you don't see this because sometimes we might be praying for somebody, hugging them, right? But you can't tell out there the demon's pushing against us. So it seems like we shove them, but we're not. We just being loving. So don't just take up a characteristic there that you need to shove, knock down. And if it doesn't happen like this, it ain't God. Okay? And I found a scripture in there. The Bible says the breath of the Lord is like brimstone upon the enemy. So many, many years ago, I was ministering to a young man from the occult, and he was praying like that, sucking air in backwards. His eyes was rolling, and I knew it was an unholy spirit. Sister Coffee, if anybody hasn't heard her tape, The Beast, you should get it. It would be the, I think it's a treasure. It's a treasure. Well, because I got some deliverance, you know how hard it is for me to get deliverance, and I got it right out there walking around there helping her out. So it's a treasure to me. And but anyway, that unholy trinity was manifesting in this individual's life, and so and the Lord told me blow on him. Well, this is before I watched any television advantages. I want to make sure this was clear because I went to Houston, my wife about 6 months later saw it, and I said, oh, but now I know the scripture for why he did what he did. But anyway, and so his forehead was right there, and I just blew on it. Boy, his eyes got wide. He backed up and stuff like that. So I got to go find a scripture. I don't know where it is right now. But anyway, I go to the scripture, and it says the breath of the Lord is like brimstone upon the enemy. So even your breath is holy. Well, I don't know. Some of you might not think so, huh? But it is. Your breath is holy.
Hallelujah.
All of you is holy. You are holy before the Lord. Now, if the enemy can get you to feel downtrodden, depressed, and beaten, you're not going to be effective in the work. Do you understand that there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus? If the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction to your life, hooray! Wonderful! That's good. That's a good work. He's doing a deeper work in you. Oh, that is so much. That is so good. I walk sometime for 2 or 3 months. It seems like nothing is happening. I'm trying to figure out if I'm going in the right direction.
That's right.
So when I'm broken and God is doing a work in me, I know I'm getting closer to the throne of grace. Try not to sit directly in front of the people if possible when you're ministering to them. And this is important because, remember, the spirits do not see you. They see in the spirit. So all they see is the Shekinah, the radiant glory, Daniel 12:3. All they see is the witness of those who are laboring after the souls of men. They see the radiant Shekinah glory of God. And if you're sitting right in front of them and you're saying, come out, where they going? Well, and you is one thing, but they just can't go nowhere. They just bouncing back like a balloon. So you might give them clean passes out. And sometimes you might see me do it. I'll do something like this. Go, ain't nothing here agree with you. Let them go. And I just share this because I know that Brother Noel and the rest of the team this week, because I have much work to do outside, will be able to go through the deliverance warfare prayers, because I got a whole lot to say, but we're not going to say it all here in the next 15 minutes or so. But I want to kind of share because I know many are here for the first time or the second time. Men, you might be careful with your ties. I'm from Texas. Because demons will grab you, and they will throw you to the floor. Because they'll see that tie, and they'll grab that tie. So you might be careful about that, and you might want to have the people, after they get off the floor, if they manifest, pick them up, put them inside the chair. And you need to pray and ask the people for their permission to pray for you. You say, well, they came to me. I know they want to pray. So ask them, say, have you given me permission? Do you desire prayer? Because you want to get in agreement with them, because the demons are saying, he don't want no deliverance. He's just here because you're the mighty man of God. He thinks the day is going to be his day. Now, God will do a quick work sometime, but most of the time he's fixing the heart. Well, let me put it like this. All the time he's fixing the heart. And so some of the deliverance may take a little longer than others. And so if you're looking for a quick fix, then you're probably in the wrong place. Nevertheless, God sometimes can do a great and mighty work in a matter of seconds. But he may little by little drive out the enemy of these lands. Okay, as much light as you were able to receive. And I know based on what I went through in the last 10 to 12 days, there wasn't much room for anything else for what I was going through. God was doing an awesome and a mighty and a great work in my life. And, you know, we need to be very careful that we don't move by the flesh. In other words, I don't pray for anyone unless my hands start burning. Now, I spoke a little bit about this in 1 month this year, I believe. And I shared a little bit more detail about taking on those sufferings and those pains that Jesus took at the cross. And after the service, a person walked up to me and said, "Well, I do that, and God showed me that was okay." I say, "Okay. I mean, whatever." So, anyway, I much prefer the gifts of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and not to be able to turn off and say after the 12 apostles died on the Isle of Palmas, there's no more power. Oh, I don't feel any burning, so I don't pray. And we need to pray for discernment. We need to talk to God, say, "God, what's going on here? What do we need to deal with?" And a demon, I've had demons turn around and say to me, "Well, you can't get it out of him because it's in you." And I say, "Okay." And I just pray and repent right there and talk to God for a few minutes. I say, "Excuse me, young man." And I just talk to God and I deal with that issue. And I say, "Okay, now you come out of there." That demon gets so mad. Some of us got Samson power. We don't fast, we lose our power. No, you just deal with that situation right there. If that's the area that the enemy manifests and shows you in your own life, just stop right there, stop the service, and repent. And go before the throne of grace and ask God for deliverance right there. And then you can proceed in your ministry. Now, we're supposed to be God's soldiers, and God's soldiers need to be a committed group. And anybody that knows anything about the military knows that soldiers don't get R&R, time off 3 weeks out of the month. They may get a weekend off once a month or every 6 weeks. And some of us don't even get that when you go through 9 weeks of boot camp. And so soldiers need to be committed, accountable, responsible stewards of the faith. You have been commissioned to God's army. Now, when you consider that commission, you need to understand that God wants us to learn how to discern good from good. Now, there are many good works, a number of good works that can distract our callings. We need to spend a little time examining where we're spending our time, our money, and our efforts. And perhaps we would get more deliverance if we spend more time in the ministry of restoration and deliverance of our souls. So we need to ask God to do and to search our souls so we can get a deeper work done in us. That means it's going to require commitment. So many of us have diverse ministries, and I'm not saying that you're not supposed to be doing what you're doing. I'm simply saying that you must add deliverance to your ministry. Deliverance must be added to your ministry. It must be a balance of your ministry. And Lake Hamilton is so committed to bringing you this message of deliverance so that your ministries can come into proper balance. In fact, no ministry is in proper balance without the ministry of deliverance. For God gave the commission, not Jim Landry. He says, "You shall preach the gospel, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and you shall cast out demons in my name."
Amen.
In Numbers 33rd chapter, verse 50, as Joshua was taking the people in the promised land, he told them, "You shall drive out the inhabitants of the land. You shall dispossess the land, replace it with the word of God." He also warned them that if you don't do it, what God said he's going to do to them, he's going to do to you. If the demon in you, and you don't get counsel on forgiveness, bitterness, resentment out, then you go.
Yeah.
That don't mean you go to hell now. I'm just saying that we allow conditions and certain situations now to reside in this house, and you can love God, and you're just going to leave out here early. On the other hand, if you continue to allow the sin and the nature of sin to dwell in your life and continue to contaminate your walk with God, then you shall not see the Lord. Well, I know we get to talk about repentance. That scares us. But we need to turn back to God. We need to turn and repent of our sins. God wants to set us free. Now, I'm just going to say this, and I'm not going to go through a deliverance paragraph for the sake of time. It's almost time for lunch. But I'm going to tell you there are two main things I believe that we as believers are having problems with and hinder us from being able to walk in the fullness of God. Now, one of the things is unforgiveness. And the other one is the occult. And unforgiveness, I believe, is one of the first blockages that we receive to healing, receive healings from infirmities and sicknesses. I really believe that's a great association with the spirit of unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment that causes to give grounds to legal grounds to demons to bring infirmities into our bodies. Now, one of the things that I didn't see so clearly was the fact that many unforgiveness spirits have got into our, we have received them as a result of generational line curses. And the demons have come in through our forefathers. Many of our forefathers were hurt, mangled, murdered, beat, tortured in the Inquisition. Some of your forefathers were part of the Inquisition or affiliated in some area, some kind of way. Some of us were involved with the, that was not only the Inquisition, that was the slavery. Then there was the Civil War. A guy I know just come back from somewhere, and he was telling me about the thousands of men that had lost arms and legs and died of gangrene out on the battle of the Civil War. Can you imagine that the husbands and wives and children that cried and were mad and angry? So they have unforgiveness in the generational line. Then there was a war, and the war is between the Catholic and the Protestants. We had much, much problems in this country, overseas in the countries. There are different problems and degrees of problems that are happening, and spirits of generational unforgiveness have got in. And we need to be delivered. Now, remember, you receive your forgiveness in the same measure you give forgiveness. And God wants to forgive you. He has forgiven you, but you have to accept the forgiveness that He has given you. So unforgiveness, I believe, is one of the greatest stumbling blocks to Christians receiving all that God has for them. And for the sake of time, I can't really go into a lot of detail with that, but we need to be able to forgive and release forgiveness. And Jesus says that we are to forgive men of their trespasses. And your Heavenly Father will forgive you of yours. Yeah. Well, if you don't forgive men of their trespasses, it's like E.F. Hutton. And he's not hearing you. You say, well, I still got goosebumps. The devil can give you goosebumps. And I am surprised that so many of the saints of God that I minister to and counsel to that have hate against mama and hate against daddy that they haven't resolved. I'm not surprised that they have it, but I'm surprised that they haven't resolved it. And they're coming into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and, just starting to fall in love with God. And then we talk and you hate daddy, hate uncle. And I realize some things have happened that a lot of bitterness can come in. There's molestation. There's relatives that have stole from you. People that have treated you unkindly. Lied upon you. Just the roots of unforgiveness can go all the way back to childhood. I've been dealing with situations myself the last 2 weeks. You get to deal with envy and jealousy from what mama you like. You like your mama more than you like your daddy. You feel like your brothers and sisters was better than you, or you was better than them. Then you go into school, then you judge yourself with the other 30 pupils. You get on the sports team, you want to be the best, you get second string. You go all the way up to the military, all the way up into the ministry. I just started seeing some area where God was saying, I want you to go and deal with all of this. Because you said those things. All little children saying, why you love him more than me, mama? But we don't want to deal with nothing like that. That's just too deep. Well, God wants to do a deeper work in us. And I just barely covered this because I'm sure it's going to come out in the rest of this week. The occult, the hidden area. God said you shall not have the gods of the other nations. But so much of the church right now is contaminated with that. And they're coming into the church and loving Jesus Christ. And I'm saying be teachable. Please be teachable. Because a lot of the things that many people are saying that God is telling them to do are not of God. You know, I've seen people that come into service, they're looking up on the wall looking for three men. Brother Landry, did God tell you to get rid of the spirit standing up over there in the corner? I said, oh, they can't do anything. What do you see it all the time anyway? And so this person go to places looking for spirits that's on the walls and stuff. And others is talking about, I got a drawing ministry. And God shows me things in angels. And the angels come down to communicate with me. See, a lot of us have an occult past. Things that we've done in the past. Well, what's some of the things that we could have done? Well, either you or your ancestors could have been involved in fortune telling, various magic practices, spiritualisms, false religions, cults, superstitions. How many, don't raise your hands, played with Ouija boards in college or as children? All you had to do was go down to the friendly Walton store or Walmart, and you can buy all of the Ouija boards, and it'll tell you where it gets its information. It'll move back and forth. It'll let you know you're getting your information from Satan. And so you maybe not have renounced that thing, or you say, it was just a parlay game. I didn't even play with it. I just sat down with my cousin and her neighbor, and I watched them play. God says, run from it like the plague. And you sat down there passively at 10 years old and said, well, I wasn't interested. Those demons didn't care. You were there. That's all that matters. I was there. The demon says, I was there. You was there. That's all that matters. I have legal grounds. I'm in there. Having your palm read. We all like to go to the fair when we were children. We have a South Texas State Fair. And at the fair, you know, this is where you find the crystal ball lady and the people that can read your cards and the man that can say, I can tell you what age you are and how tall you are and how much you weigh. So let me go up there and see if he can tell how much I weigh. God says, run from it like the plague. Spiritualisms, dealing with mediums and those that have familiar spirits. And I know it doesn't mean anything to you, but do you like cracking that Chinese cookie, seeing what the portion is? Come on, we need to grow up. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be men and women of God, stature and favor with God and man, no longer tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but we're still breaking open the fortune cookie to see what our day is. Something is wrong. Then there's karate and kung fu and all of the martial arts. I mean, they're dealing with demon power, and then there's meditation. We need to really go to God, because most of the parents today are putting their children in the martial arts so they can learn defense, because the parent is scared, because God, they're not under God's covering. They're not under the shadow of His Almighty. They don't trust in Him to protect them and their children, so they're putting their children in karate classes. They call it self-defense. Well, we have a will. All it is demonic. Then there's the yoga, and the yoga position just opens you up for lust spirits.
Yep.
And they're starting to incorporate this into our educational system. The medical profession is starting to incorporate yoga and different reflexology and massaging the bottoms of the feet and hitting pressure points, acupuncture, and all these other things. Bob Lawson has an excellent book on it. Somebody got my book out of my house. I don't know where it is. I'm going to buy another one. All these things are rooted in demonic worship. Have you ever been hypnotized by your dentist? Oh, don't tell me. Have you ever been around where they was doing hypnotism? You say it was just a game. They was walking around there and he hypnotized this person. You should have seen him acting like a dog. Boy, we laugh. Well, you were cursed. Your children were cursed. Your grandchildren were cursed. And your great-grandchildren were cursed. Because if you were involved and you were just there and it entertained you, or you were just there, then you got a four-generational curse. Got some good news for you. God can deliver you. Because now knowledge has come, you can repent of it. You can repent of it. If you was in a place where they were playing the parlay game, and they was lifting a chair up with their finger, and it's done by a demon spirit, then you were cursed, your grandchildren were cursed, your great-grandchildren, did I get it right? And your great-great-grandchildren were cursed. That's a four-generational curse there for doing these things. So people, tarot cards and water witching and good luck charms, very few of us have escaped good luck charms when we were children. Very few of us. And then tattoos. I've ministered to people, and when we start coming against those tattoo spirits, those carvings in the skin forbidden by Scripture, mutilation for the dead, and the tattoos start itching and scratching, and I'm telling you people, God wants to deliver us. Now, some of you have already got your deliverance, or you're a little bit more alert to the fact that God wants you to repent of it today, break the curses, and get some freedom. So when Brother Noel ministers deliverance this afternoon, and he comes against certain demons, or tomorrow, the next day, and when he's grasp for air, you say, and tattoo spirits, you come out too. Just fall in agreement with him.
Right.
But that may not remove the mark. In some cases, God has removed the mark. I can't tell you about the demonic oppression individuals have received because of their past affiliations with the occult. Now, I've shared a lot of things with you, but I want you to know there's some good news, that God is our deliverer.
Yes.
And He's given us power. And He's given us knowledge to win over the forces of evil. And you shall not fail, but you shall win. In the end, we win. And He's commissioned every one of us to the battle. And you shall do valiantly.
Yeah.
It may not seem like it right now, but you have gotten the commission, you've gotten the call. And all I'm asking you to consider is that you will submit to what God is doing in your life. Let Him do the deeper work. It may be painful at the time as you're going through it. Oh, but when the work is processed and completed, just think about the relationship and the closeness you will have with our Lord.
Right.
Oh, I thank Him for the work that He's doing in my life. I thank Him for the work that He's doing in all of your life. And I hope that in this just short teaching here, we only had a little time to share, that something was said that encouraged you, because you are commissioned to the battle. You are my fellow brothers in the Lord.
Amen.
And I covet your prayers. We may need each other. We don't know what the situation or the strategy or the demonic work that Satan will try to use against us. and we're going to need each other to pray for one for another. We must work together because you and I are the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now, it is a believer's ministry, and you are a believer. So, Lord, I thank you right now for the commission to the believer, that you have commissioned us to preach the gospel, the casting out of evil spirits, the laying hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you will grant us the increase, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that it is you, Lord God, that has commissioned us to the work. Lord, balance our ministries, God. We are totally dependent and trusting in you, God. And we know that you will bring it to pass, God, your perfect work which shall be done in our lives. Lord, we willfully surrender ourselves to the commission, Lord, to the mission. Lord, you determine the place of our ministry. The place of our ministry, Lord God, is to be determined by you. Lord, equip us, Lord God. We don't want to see none lost, God. We want to see everyone that comes, Lord, get the measure of deliverance that you have ordained for their lives. So, Lord, we pray, Lord God, to be found faithful. Faithful to the work. Now, Lord, I bless the food that we're about to receive this afternoon. Lord, we just thank you that it'll bring nourishment to our vessels. Lord, we bless the workers back there who work so diligently. Lord, they have given their lives to the service of your people, Lord God. And Lord, I just bless the staff. They're so wonderful, so caring, and so loving, God. Oh, God, we just bless them. We thank you, Lord God. They take away from being able to receive the word themselves, God, to go and prepare to feed the many multitudes that come here. Oh, God, we just thank you, and we remind you of their labor and labor of love for the church. And we ask you to bless them, and we pray in Jesus' name. May God bless you. Enjoy your lunch. See you at 1:30.
1:15.
Oh, 1:15. Thank you, Glenn.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.